count them happy to hear. They have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful, and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth the fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Brother Martinez, would you pray for us?
Amen. So the title of the sermon tonight is How to Praise the Lord. How to Praise the Lord. And I'm just going to look at one verse real quick there in James chapter 5, where it says in verse 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. So for, you know, I'll get more into about how to praise the Lord really at the end, just make a few points of application. But I want to kind of give us some reasons to praise the Lord to begin with. But the title of the sermon is How to Praise the Lord. And one reason we ought to praise the Lord is if we're merry, right? That's what he says there in James chapter 5. It says, is any merry? Let him sing songs. You know, when I'm talking about praising the Lord tonight, I'm talking specifically about singing out to the Lord, making melody with your hearts, singing unto the Lord in church, in your personal life. This is something that we're going to see very shortly that we're commanded to do in Scripture. And it's something that God wants us to do, and it's something we should do. And really, you know, I know often sometimes we have to be motivated to do this. We have to be encouraged to sing out in church, and we ought to. But really, it should be something that we just do because we want to. You know, is any merry, he's saying in James chapter 5, let him sing psalms. You know, you want to express your gratitude, your happiness. You want to express how much you love the Lord. One of the best ways you can do that is singing praise unto him. Here in the church, in your own personal life, privately, that's one way to express your gratitude for all that the Lord has done for us. If you would look at, go over to Hebrews chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter number 2. When you get to Hebrews, keep something there. We'll come back a little bit later. But we want to talk tonight about praising the Lord. You know, how are we going to do that? And again, we'll talk about it more at the end, exactly how to do that, make some application there. But I'm just starting out by giving you some reasons why you ought to. You know, one reason you ought to is because if you're married, the Bible says, let him sing psalms, okay? If you look there in verse 9, it says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Verse 10, for it became him, of whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church I will sing praise unto thee. And of course, this is a quote of Psalms 22. Keep something in Hebrews. Go over to Psalms 22. Psalms 22. So there at the end, he's quoting, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. You know, we ought to sing unto God from the heart. You know, that's what he was saying in James. Like, if you're merry, if it's in you, it's just bubbling over, you just got to let it out some way, you need to sing. And look, if you're not joyful, if you're not merry, you know, that's another sermon. You know, that's something you should probably work on. You know, you should probably examine, why is it that I don't have the joy of the Lord? You know, am I not walking in the Spirit? Do I have sin in my life? Am I backslidden? You know, if there isn't a genuine desire to praise the Lord, you know, that's a whole other sermon in and of itself, right? And again, in James 5, he's saying, look, is any afflicted? Let him pray. I understand we go through seasons in life. It's not that we're, you know, in sin or something like that, but we're down because of something we're going through, you know, maybe an affliction or something like that. But look, if we you know, aren't going through some trial in our life and we just are never motivated to praise God, you know, we ought to examine our hearts and see why that is. And if you're there in Psalms 22, we'll read where what was quoted in Hebrews chapter 2. He said, Psalms 22, verse 22, I declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Of course, this is a great verse to compare with Hebrews, where we were, to show that church and congregation are the same thing. You know, what is a church? It's a congregation. He says, in the midst of the congregation I will praise thee. Yea, ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All the seed of Jacob, glorify him, and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. So one thing I want to point out is that singing is something that has to come from the heart. It has to come from a place of wanting to glorify God. It comes from a place of gratitude. It's got to come from the heart. Go over to Psalms chapter 9. Psalms chapter 9. And again, notice he's saying there, I'm going to sing where? I'm going to sing in the midst of the church. Among my brethren, I'll declare thy name. You know, he's going to sing in the midst of the congregation. You know, singing out of the Lord is not something you ought to be ashamed of. It's not something that you should hold back on because you're worried about what your neighbor is going to think of your singing. This isn't, you know, I'm going to make another Ed McMahon reference. This isn't Star Search up here, right? Okay? It's not what this is. There's no talent scouts in the audience. You know, if there were, that this probably wouldn't be where they come, okay? But we shouldn't be embarrassed about, you know, what we sound like when we sing out. And here's the thing, if you're singing from the heart, if you're singing out of a place of just wanting to glorify God, you know, it doesn't matter what your neighbor thinks. It doesn't matter what the guy in front of you thinks. You know, I remember I used to get looks at church, maybe it's because of how I sounded, but I remember when I used to sit out there, I'd have people that would move because I sang so loud. Because I wanted to sing loud. Because, you know, I'm kind of getting in my head of myself. If you want to sing well, you have to sing loud. You know, that's, and people say, I have a bad voice, that's why I sing so quiet. Well, because you sing quiet, you have a poor voice. Part of being able to sing well, am I right about this? You got to really sing out, right? You got to get some air in your lungs, and you got to belt it out, right? Brother Andrew knows, he's taking the singing lessons, right? And he's that's something that they teach you. That's something I was taught early on. I remember when I first got in a Baptist church, I had this dream, and I'm not saying this is from God or anything like that, but I remember having like this, it was borderline nightmare of being in church and like not having the hymnal up in the right orientation or something. I remember just thinking in my dream, like, I've got to learn these songs. You know, and why was that? Because I wanted to sing out in the midst of the brethren. You know, I wanted to sing in the midst of the church. I wanted to declare his name unto my brethren. So that's got to be something that comes from the heart. And, you know, singing out unto the Lord is something you can't be ashamed of. Look at Psalms 9, verse 1. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. You don't sing unto the Lord half-hearted. Don't praise God, you know, well, I know I'm in church, I'm supposed to praise God now, so I guess I'll just offer up some praise. You know, we ought to sing out from our heart, with our whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise unto thy name, O thou most high. So again, who is he singing praise unto? The guy in front of him? The song leader? Somebody in church? No, he's singing unto the Most High. And you know, if you believe that and you come to church with the mentality and the understanding that when you're here praising God or anywhere, you know, that you're singing unto the Lord, that should affect how you sing. I mean, imagine if the Lord were actually here, I mean, physically, like he showed up, right? And we know he's here spiritually, you know, he's in the midst of us. You know, think about that. But, you know, just to kind of bring it home here, to bring this point home, if God was there observing our singing, would he be impressed? I'm not saying with the quality of it or whether you hit every note perfectly, or what he would be examining is how much is your heart into it? How much of your heart are you putting into singing unto the Lord? You know, if the kids are out singing the adults, you know, there's probably a problem there. The adults need to lead the charge for the kids, right? So don't be ashamed of being heard in church. You know, be ashamed of not being heard by the Lord. You know, the Lord hearing you and going, that's all I'm worthy of. You know, because he's worthy, you know, to be praised. Why? Because he's the Most High. If you would, go over to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to come back to Psalms several times tonight, but if you want to keep something there, but go to Ephesians chapter 5. You should still have a bookmark in Hebrews. Bookmark in Hebrews. Go over to Ephesians chapter 5. Don't be ashamed of being heard in church. You know, the Lord wasn't ashamed when he wasn't too ashamed to go out and suffer for us. You know, he suffered humility. You know, he suffered, humiliation and shame for our behalf. You know, we shouldn't be ashamed to sing praise unto him. You say, well, I don't have a very good voice. Well, the Bible says make a joyful noise, right? That's the old Baptist joke. Psalms 98. Make a joyful noise. If you can make a noise, you can sing, right? And we can all make noise. Now, don't take that too literally, you know, and show up and just start making noises. But look, if what you sing, you know, equates to a noise, some people might hear you and say, man, what is, you know, who's strangling a cat? What is that noise? You know, as long as it's coming from the heart, in your heart, it's genuine, you know, that's all that matters. If you're just singing out as best you know how, you know, that's all the Lord's looking for. That your heart is in it. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise. Notice he said, make a loud noise in Psalms 98. I'm reading to you. Make a loud noise. You know, coming to church and just kind of singing like this isn't really, that's not really making a loud noise. You know, if you can barely hear yourself, you know, then you're not singing loud enough. You know, you need to be singing out to be heard. And here's the thing. This is kind of the catch 22. If everyone sang loud, you wouldn't hear anybody else. You know who I hear the most when I sing? Is me. Because I sing loud, right? I try to sing out as loud as I can. You know, I'm not yelling. Obviously we don't want to turn this into a shouting match in here, right? So you can outdo one another. But if you sing out loud, you know, it's going to resonate in your own cranium, right? You're gonna drown out everybody else. You want to drown out that brother and sister that behind you that's just feels like they're shoving an ice pick in your ear or something like that. You want to drown them out. You want to not hear that. Sing louder, you know. And I used to sing loud where people would get up and move. I mean, I remember one guy turned and gave me a look, and it's just like you got up and move, because one guy came to me afterwards. He's like, "Man, do you have to sing so loud?" I said, "Yes, I do. I have to sing that loud." Anyway, that's just kind of a story I know. But he, you know, that is the tip, right? To sing better, you got to sing louder, right? You got to sing loud to sing well. At least better than you would not singing loud. And again, sing unto God, not man. You know, you need to sing unto the Lord. And you say, well, you know, why is it so important to sing? Well, you know, singing is a form of thanksgiving. You know, singing is a form of thanksgiving. He says in Psalms 147, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. You know, God sees how grateful you are through your singing. You know. Now, if you're there in Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 17. He said, Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So he's saying, look, you need to be filled with the Spirit. Instead of being a drunk, you know, be filled with the Spirit. Right? And then, you know, verse 19 is a continuation of the same chapter, or the same sentence. So he's telling you what to do, and now in verse 19, he's telling you how to do it. You know, we talk a lot about being filled with the Spirit, and people wonder sometimes, how is it I'm supposed to be filled with the Spirit? Well, praise the Lord, we got the instructions right here, verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Right? So one way you can be filled with the Spirit, one way it's going to help you be filled with the Spirit is if you sing unto the Lord. You know, speaking this out loud, doing it, you know, to yourselves, one another here in church, and also singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know, if you start out your day with singing to the Lord, you wake up, you know, do your devotions, if you make singing, you know, a chorus or maybe a few verses of a hymn or maybe a whole hymn, you know, you sing that out, it's going to change your attitude. You know, the singing, music is a very powerful, powerful thing. And, you know, and we take it for granted because we hear so much of it everywhere we go. It's basically just been turned into like some filler, you know, like the white stuff in a Twinkie. You know, it's just this cheap filler that people use to just kind of get through their day, isn't it? I mean, people are at work, they want to drown out their own thoughts. You know, they turn on the radio. People go to the grocery store. You gotta have music on in the grocery store. People get in their car. They can't abide being in silence, right? And there's something to be said about, you know, a time to be quiet and reflective and all that. But the point is this: is that most people today, the society in general, they take music for granted, and how powerful it really is. And anyone who's listened to any kind of music knows what I'm talking about. I mean, how many of us in here could just hear some song we haven't heard in like a decade and sing right along with it because we grew up listening to it? Some song would come on the radio, we might overhear something somewhere, and we can just immediately pick up, even though we haven't heard that song in decades. That's how powerful it is. I mean, and you know, that's to the negative, right? that's something that could affect us negatively, but what about positively? Especially this time of year, right? A lot of the Christmas carols that we sing, man, they're very stirring songs. I mean, I've heard people, you know, this would never happen to me because I'm not that big of a softy, but I've heard people talk about, you know, how emotional they get during Christmas time at church because the songs are so moving. You know, you hear about the birth of Christ, his suffering, his love. You know, you hear about the humble birth, that whole Christmas story, you know, and it can move us to tears. You know, many songs have that power to inspire emotions, you know, whether they be good or bad, right? So music is a very powerful thing that is very underestimated, you know. So you should be very careful about the things that you listen to because it's a very powerful thing. And it's something that God created and gave us the ability to do. And he's saying here in Ephesians, look, if you want to be filled with the Spirit, in order to do that, you know, one way to do that, you know, is to speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the God, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, singing here shows us that it has the power to fill us with the Spirit, and it's an expression of thankfulness or gratitude unto the Lord. And, you know, we do have a lot to be grateful for, don't we? If you would, go over to Hebrews chapter 13. I mean, think about all the things that God has done for us. And you say, well, God hasn't done that much for me. Well, if you're saved, he's done quite a bit. He's done more for you than you'll ever do for him, and that alone, right? In the fact that you're saved. The psalm, David said, I will sing unto the Lord because it's my duty to do it. No, he said, I will sing unto the Lord in Psalm 13 because he hath dealt bountifully with me. I mean, David's looking back and saying how bountiful God has been toward him with his mercy and his grace. And he's saying, I'm going to sing unto God as a result. He wants to express his gratitude. How does he do it? By singing unto him. The Bible says in Psalms 33, rejoice in the Lord, all ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. You know, singing looks good on you, is what he's saying there. It's praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harps, sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. God wants us to praise him, and that's something we should be doing. And you know, God, I believe, is pleased by our singing. God is pleased by our singing. If you're there in Hebrews chapter 13, look at verse 15. He said, by him therefore let us offer sacrifices of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So he's saying, look, we should offer sacrifice of praise to God continually. You know, more than any other sacrifice, you know, that they would make, you know, in the Old Testament. You know, God's not looking for us to, you know, make some Old Testament sacrifice. Right? We know that's all been done away with. But we could still make a sacrifice today to God of praise. You say, I want to give God something. You know, I want to offer something up to the Lord. You know, well, what are you going to give God that he doesn't already have? You know, one thing he might not have is your praise. That's one thing that you have that he wants. You say, well, you know, I want to offer some animal sacrifice, right, or something like that. Well, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. You know, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. But, you know, here's the thing. You do have something to offer to God that he wants. And it says it's the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, it goes on to say, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. You know, the fruit of your lips is what God is interested in, giving thanks unto his name through praise. It's very important. God is pleased with singing. God desires there to be literal singing in his house. If you would, go over to 1 Chronicles chapter 9. 1 Chronicles chapter 9. I mean, think about the fact that in the Old Testament, God had a whole group of people called the Levites that were dedicated to the service of his altar, right? The service of the tabernacle and the service of the temple. They were Levites that were, you know, given certain duties, right? You had the sons of Aaron that were given the priestly duties, the high priest, you know, making those sacrifices. Other priests had different roles in the animal sacrifice. You know, other Levites had the jobs of, you know, breaking down the tent and setting it up, and so on and so forth. But did you know? What I'm pointing out here is the fact that there was a whole segment of people within the Levites that were appointed to the express purpose of singing praise unto the God. That was it. That was their job. To offer praise in the house of God. That was their full-time job. And you see this throughout Scripture. And you know, you're going to 1 Chronicles chapter 9, But I'll remind us that in 1 Chronicles 15, if you want to turn there real quick, in verse 16 it says, "And David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be singers with instruments of music, psalteries and harps and cymbals sounding by lifting up the voice with joy." Verse 19, "So the singers Heman, Asaph, and Ethan were appointed to the sound the cymbals of brass." So you have these guys that are specifically named that were appointed by David and by the chief of the Levites to do one thing, to praise God with instruments and with their voices. If you're there in 1 Chronicles 9, look at verse 33. It says, "And these are the singers, chief of the fathers of the Levites, who remaining in the chambers were free," meaning they didn't have any other responsibility. This was their job, "for they were employed in that work day and night." And what were they? These are the singers, it said in the beginning. These are the singers, the chief of the fathers of the Levites, who were free and continually employed in that work day and night. Right? So God, you know, shows us in the Old Testament that, you know, it was so important to him to have people singing praise unto him that there were actually people that were appointed to that full time, that was their job. And, you know, we could go to a lot of other passages in the Old Testament where we see that. You could go to 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, we were just in 1 Chronicles. You go to Ezra, Nehemiah, when they're rebuilding the temple and the wall, and whole groups of people are named and set aside for the purpose of singing praise unto God. So God, you know, is pleased by singing. This is something that he wants. You know, and I'll remind us also that heaven is a place that's full of singing. You know, heaven is a place of singing. When we get there, you know, there's going to be a lot of singing going on. If you would, go over to Revelation chapter number 5. Revelation chapter number 5. I'll remind us in Revelation 19, it said, "And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great." So that's a command, isn't it? Look, God commands that we sing praise unto him. You know, it's not something that we should just consider as optional or say, well, you know, it's not my gift. You know, so-and-so, they're good at singing, I'll let them do it. No, God wants all of us, small and great, to sing praise unto him, whether we're good at it or not. You know, and if the more we do it, the more dedicated we are, guess what? The better we'll get. You think about, you know, we're going to read the Christmas story, right, with the shepherds, right? And what happened when the angels came to the shepherds, right? And it says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Look, heaven is full of praise to God. Heaven is going to be full of singing and music. You're there in Revelation chapter 5, look at verse 6, and he said, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tribe and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." So there's this moment in heaven where the Lamb takes the book, right? And the 24 elders and the beasts, they see this, and they just break out into a new song. And this is the song. I don't know exactly what the melody is, but this is what they're saying. I mean, things are going on up there where just song just erupts suddenly. Look, God wants us to sing praise unto him. Heaven's going to be full of it. It goes on and says in verse 6, I think I lost my place there in my notes. But he says, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of many thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and the wife hath made herself ready." So look, heaven's going to be full of singing. But here's what I want to get across tonight. Don't sit there and wait till you're in heaven to sing praise unto God. Say, well, I'll do it when I get there. You need to start doing it now. You know, we were just talking before the service. You know, I'm going to go out and buy some equipment so we can hear the congregational singing on the live stream. You know, but what are they going to hear? You know, maybe I shouldn't do that, right? But I think we got some good singing going in here. I really do. You know, I noticed it especially this morning because, you know, the Christmas songs are the hardest songs to sing. They really are. And Brother Andrew, he's finding out about that, right? I warned him. I said, look, man, you think you know these, you're going to get up there and they're trickier than you think. Well, I've sung them so many times. That's the problem. Everybody knows how they go, right? And so if we make one little mistake, it's like everyone's like, ah, you know. But I noticed that because some songs in the Christmas songs, there are a little harder to sing. Like this morning, we were singing a Christmas song, and then we switched back to another song that everybody knew. And I could hear the difference. Like, if so many more people were singing out. And I said, yeah, I need to get those mics. I need to go ahead and do it. Christmas will be over soon, right? It still sounds good, right? But why do we want to do that? We want to show people that, look, this is a place where the Lord is praised in song. You know, and as many as well, you know, as much as there are people that sing out to the Lord here, I'm sure there's still some people that are holding back. I'm sure there's still some people that are kind of not so sure if they want to sing out that loud. I'm just giving you permission tonight. You know, if that's in your heart and that's something you want to do, you know, don't worry about what your neighbor thinks. You know, don't worry about what your spouse is going to say later. Just go ahead and belt that out. You know, because God's going to be pleased with that. Don't sit there and wait to heaven when you have that new body and those new vocal cords and that new diaphragm, you think, well, then I'll sing praise unto God. You know what? God will be pleased with that singing just as much here as he will there. Okay? So don't wait for heaven to sing like you should. Because here's the thing. Like I said earlier, praising the Lord is a commandment. In fact, it's the most commanded commandment in Scripture. If you look up all the different ways God tells us to sing and to praise him, that is the number one commandment in Scripture. I'm not saying that it's, you know, the first commandment. I'm saying, but that's the one that you just find most often repeated. Just the term "praise ye the Lord" occurs 25 times. "Praise the Lord" occurs 33 times. I'm not going to go through all the different ways that God tells us to praise or to sing unto the Lord. You know, but that is something that God wants us to do, is to praise and sing unto him. And you know, I want to just kind of at the end here, just kind of make a few more practical applications. If you notice when we were going through some of these verses, there was talk of instrumentation, wasn't there? Where God was saying, hey, you know, use the harp, use the instrument of 10 strings, use the timbrel, right? Use all these different instruments, right? We need to use instruments as well. You know, some people will have an objection to this. I'm just going to touch on this because, you know, this is such an easy one to debunk. You know, I'm going to go ahead and shoot this duck every time I walk by the barrel. But some people, they say, well, we shouldn't sing, use instruments, rather. They'll say, we should sing in church, but we don't use instruments in church because the New Testament doesn't mention the instruments. Well, you know, the New Testament doesn't mention, you know, kissing your grandma either. But the Old Testament does, right? It says, don't look on the nakedness of your near of kin, right? Does it need to reiterate everything that was mentioned in the Old Testament? Isn't it long enough already? Isn't it a long enough book? God's got to reiterate everything in the New Testament. Look, the things that don't apply in the Old Testament are things that are specifically told, we are specifically told in the New Testament no longer apply. Right? The carnal ordinances, the drinks, the diverse offerings, the new moons, the holy days, those are the things that the New Testament specifically says are done away in Christ. Everything else still stands. Because otherwise the Bible would be a very redundant book. Right? So look, just because the New Testament doesn't specifically name all these musical instruments doesn't mean we shouldn't use them, okay? And it's a foolish argument, but it's out there, okay? And one, you know, the Bible says in Ephesians 5, speaking to yourselves in psalms, right? Where we read that earlier, hymns and spiritual songs. That's what psalms is. It's a book of songs. Literally, they were intended to be sung. That was their Old Testament, you know, hymnal was the book of psalms. And you read the book of psalms and it's full of instrumentation. So we're supposed to sing in psalms about using musical instruments unto the Lord, but we're not supposed to use musical instruments. It doesn't make any sense, okay? It's a poor argument. The Bible says in Psalm 92, if you would, go to Psalm 150. We're going to close there in Psalm 150. It says in Psalm 92, upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. So here there's this instrumentation that should be used. And this is the thing I want to kind of encourage here in our church. Is that if there's people in this church, and you know what? There's more people than I know of probably here that know how to play some kind of a musical instrument. And one thing I found is that when one person starts to play an instrument, then you find out, you know, three other people also play an instrument. They come on and say, oh, I used to play that in high school, or I used to play that whenever. Okay? Who in here has played an instrument in the past, in high school or whatever? Several hands. Did you raise your hand? I'm going to be talking to you later. All right. Lots, you know, but there's several hands. Some of them I'd already heard about. Other people I had no idea. Did you notice my hand was raised? You probably didn't know that, right? I wasn't just raising it to show you what to do. That's because I used to play the trombone, okay? And, you know, so I'm kind of preaching this, but I'm kind of putting myself on the spot. Because I want to encourage people to pick up instruments. And as I was kind of writing this, thinking, well, you can't get up there and tell people to do that and not do it. So now I'm going to have to go out and get a trombone and start playing it here in church. And I'm going to. All right? It's going to happen. All right? But here's the thing. I want people to do that. You know, I want to have some instrumentation here. If there's people here, you know, people are always wondering, well, how can I serve God? Well, you know, what else can I do to serve the Lord? You know, and they want to think different ways. Well, you know what? If you play an instrument, that's one great way to serve God, to glorify the Lord in the house of God. I mean, that's a great thing. And look, you say, well, I don't play an instrument. Well, then sing out loud. You know, we've all got a musical instrument called our voice box. And you can use that to glorify God, okay? But look, if you have the ability to play an instrument, use that to glorify God, okay? Now, it says there in Psalm 150, verse 1, it says, look there in Psalm 150, verse 1, praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power, praise him for his mighty acts, praise him according to his excellent greatness, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. You know, trumpets are something we should be using. Praise him with psaltery and harp. Who here knows how to play a trumpet? Anybody? I see one. All right, amen. Who knows how to play a psaltery? I don't even know what that is. Right? Who knows how to play a harp? That'd be cool, right? That one I was trying to get you to raise your hand. I don't know how to play the harp, right? A trombone, that's all I got. And then praise him with the timbrel and dance. Now, we're not going to get into the dancing, but praise him with string instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Everything that has breath should be praising God. Everything. So you say, well, I don't know if I should praise the Lord. Well, are you still sucking air? Are you breathing? Do you have a pulse? Then you know what? You should be praising God. You know, and especially when you come here. When you come to church, let it rip. Sing out. And, you know, if you want to get better at the singing portion, you know, that's something you should try to start doing outside of church. You know, you can go ahead and put in the practice. And here's the thing. If you say, well, I don't have a hymnal, here's what I want you to do. Take a hymnal home tonight. Say, I'm trying to learn these hymns. You know, I'm trying to sing better at church. You know, well, then here's what I want you to do. Take a hymnal home. I'm dead serious. Just take one of those hymnals that's sitting in front of you right now and just take it home with you. You know, just make sure you leave. No, I'm just kidding. $5. No, I'm just kidding. We don't sell anything here. I'm totally kidding. I shouldn't even joke about that. But I'm dead serious. Just take a hymnal. I don't care if it's a brand new one, and we'll get more. You know, if that's what's going to make you a better singer, if that's what's going to make you glorify God even more, and even to a better or greater degree than you currently are, man, that's an investment. That's a great investment. So take a hymnal home tonight, and here's the thing. If you play an instrument in church, you know, why don't you play one in church if you know how to? You know, we'll buy the books. We'll even buy, you know, you come tell me what instrument you play, and we'll get the, you know, they make the books for all the different instruments that match up with our hymnal. If you play any instrument, you know, there is a book that they make that we can get. And you could play here at church, we'll buy the books. You say, well, I play the instrument, but I don't have one anymore. It's been so long. We'll rent you the instrument if you need it. We'll even go rent you an instrument to get you to come here and play and sing and honor God through that instrument. You know, so I wanted to preach this sermon for a while now. It's not something I've talked a lot about. I don't think I've ever preached a whole sermon on it. But the point is this, is I just want to encourage you tonight, you know, on how to praise the Lord. And the way that you ought to do it is with your whole heart. And you ought to do it because you love the Lord and you want to glorify Him. Whether you know an instrument or not, you know, praise God with your whole heart. And if you can take it to, you know, if there's some, I don't want to say take it to another level to make people who don't know how to play an instrument feel like they're second class or something, because you're not. But if you have an ability to you know, come in here and play an instrument and make our you know, music program here better, and in the process also bring more glory to God, Let's do that. I mean, I'll mic everything that's up here. I'll mic that piano. I'll mic whatever instruments. We'll make room up for here. We'll have our own little orchestra, right? The Faithful Word Tucson Orchestra. Make it happen, you know? And I guess I'm just kind of putting myself on the spot publicly, you know, by saying I'm going to get a trombone and start doing it. I'll lead the charge, all right? So, but I wanted to preach that tonight because I think that that's a very often overlooked thing, you know, that we kind of sometimes just take for granted. We just come to church, we just open up our hymnal, we mumble through a few songs, and we feel like, you know, we've done something spiritual. But, you know, exert your own heart. You know, would God really be pleased with the way you're praising him? Or if you're holding back some talent or some ability just because you don't feel like it or you don't feel good enough, is that really what, would that really be pleasing unto the Lord? You know, it wouldn't. Use those things. Use those abilities that God has given us to magnify the name of the Lord. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, again, thank you for the ability that you've given each and every one of us to praise you, Lord, and in song and in prayer and with our lives. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to just continue to glorify you, you know, Lord, not just through our voice or through instruments, Lord, but even through the things that we think, the things that we say, Lord, the things that we do, that everything that we do would always be honoring and glorifying to you. Lord, we thank you for how you've dealt bountifully with this church. Lord, I pray you'd help us to offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto you. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we'll go ahead and sing one more song before we go tonight.